follow your dreams, even if you think that is not going to help you financially. Just do it because it is going to give you the happiness which you cannot get anywhere else.
Welcome to the Sum of Everything podcast, where we discuss a little bit of a lot of topics, ranging from spirituality to finance and everything in between. I'm your host, Aishwarya, a serial hobbyist with an unquenchable thirst for learning, especially through new experiences. In this podcast, we will scratch every itch of curiosity, explore various perspectives, step out of our comfort zone, and experience some of everything. Because after all, we are just that, a sum of all our experiences. So let's dive right in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Sum of Everything podcast. Today is episode number 3 in the celebration of the month of March as Women's Empowerment Month on Sum of Everything. And today we have an incredible guest joining us all the way from Seoul, South Korea. Now, this person was introduced to me by my sister, who happened to have been introduced to her by a moment of fate when our guest found Ananya's Instagram profile and invited her to perform at one of her events that she organizes in Seoul for Indian diaspora in Korea. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Swarnim Singh all the way from Seoul, South Korea. Swarnim is currently working at a Korean company called Dharba and started Seoul Events to promote Indian culture in Seoul for the Indian community residing there. Hi, Swarnim.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for inviting me to this podcast. I'm really very excited to talk about my journey in Korea. And I would love to get the response of your audience. I would like to hear what they think about this podcast later on.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do this. Even just the little bit that we've been talking before, it's so nice to, you know, talk to somebody who's been so enterprising all the way in Seoul, in a foreign land with a foreign language and a foreign culture. So before we jump into that aspect of it, Swarnim, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you are from in India, and how did you decide to move to Korea?
Yes, definitely. I am from Lucknow, Uttar Pradesh. So when I was in India, I never thought that I would land up in South Korea because this was never my dream. I was actually learning Korean language at Jawaharlal Nehru University. After graduation, I somehow got an opportunity to study Korean language at a Korean university through a scholarship. So at that moment, I thought that it was the best chance to improve my language because anyone can learn in their own country. But when you actually learn in that native country and you interact with the people of that country, that is how you can actually improve your language. I remember when I was in India, I could hardly talk in Korean, even though I studied at one of the best universities of India, because we never had the chance to speak to our to our friends in Korean. We always ended up speaking in Hindi or English. Right. So when I came to Korea, the difference was clearly visible because all my classmates were foreigners and our teachers always encouraged us to talk in Korean, no matter it was wrong. Wow. And that is how I improved my language skills. And I am proud that I decided to come to Korea to learn the language. So after learning the language, I just decided to do master's. And I again got an opportunity, another scholarship, because studying in Korea is not very easy. It's quite expensive. So if I didn't get the scholarship, I would have never thought of studying in Korea, to be honest, because nobody wants to study in a country like Korea. Everybody wants to go to US, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Like if you have to spend your own money, it's not like for everyone, because there are people who spend their own money to study in Korea. But for me, I would have spent my money on a country where there are more job opportunities and there's no language barrier. But because I learned the language, I thought, why not do my master's over here? And then after doing my master's, I started working in Korea. So right now I am working as a digital marketer at a company named Thalba. And it is one of the popular K-beauty company, not only in Korea, but also globally in US. And these days it is also expanding in India.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay, more on the K-beauty part later, because I definitely want recommendations.
Sure.
So what I find very interesting about your journey is that you didn't start off the way most other people who go to Korea to study or work started off, which is the entryway is usually K-drama or K-pop or Korean food even for some people. Yeah. So you happened to study the language first.
Yes.
Then you went into, that's very interesting. Yeah. What was the name of the scholarship you got?
I got two scholarships. The first one was a Korea Foundation scholarship, which is only meant for language programs. Okay. But there are some conditions that you need to have done some courses already in Korean language or literature or something else. Mm-hmm. And the second was GKS scholarship about which I think most of the people interested in Korea know about.
Right.
So yeah, both are fully funded. So I didn't have to, you know, spend a single penny from my pocket.
That is quite the achievement. That's incredible. So, but let's backtrack a little bit. How did you end up studying Korean in the first place?
Okay, so before I started learning Korean, I was a software engineer at Accenture.
Wow.
I have changed my major thrice. So those of you who are listening to this and think that I have not figured out my career, it's okay. You will figure it out. Keep changing, you know, just go away.
Oh my God. I just want to take a moment and just let that sink in for people. It's never too late to change your career, and it's okay to not have it figured out. This is so inspiring.
I have three majors, biotech, and then I ended up working as software engineer. Then I did Korean language and literature, and then I did international trade. And now I'm working in marketing.
Okay.
So, I think it just comes with your passion. Like, you will figure it out. It's not mandatory. Like, you need to have done your graduation and post-graduation in the same field. It is not mandatory. It's okay. You can figure it out at some stage of your life.
So, if you don't mind me asking, Swarnim, at what ages did you make these shifts in your career?
I will have to calculate that.
No, I mean, it doesn't have to be the exact age. Just tell me, like, mid-20s.
Okay, so
at what point?
Yeah. I changed my major when I was 24. So I did double undergraduation. And it is, you know, it is not very easy. Because when you do double undergraduation, you have to sit with people who are 4 years younger.
Younger than you.
Always have to hear, oh, you are old. But you are just 24. When I started learning Korean language, there were not many people who knew about Korea or Korean. It was back in 2012. I started my undergraduation in Korean language and literature from JNU in 2012.
Wow.
At that moment, even I was not sure if I wanted to do this. But just because I heard from my sister that the scope of learning this language was very good, as it was quite rare for people learning this language. So I just decided to, you know, go for it. Even in the second semester, when even I didn't even pass out, there were a lot of opportunities from companies which were offering 60,000 rupees in that, you know, 2012, in that year. The pay was quite high for these kind of jobs. So I thought to learn a language which would give me a better job opportunities in India.
Wow. So you said that you got two scholarships, which is why you decided to, you know, continue your education in Seoul. And then you decided to take up a job in Seoul as well. And you now work as a digital marketer.
Yes.
So can you walk us through that process? What was it like? Was it difficult to find a job there, not being local? How did you face that challenge?
So this is not my first job at Thalba, because Thalba is a very big company. And if you talk to people who are crazy about K-beauty, then there's not a single person who doesn't know about this brand. So I will tell you, I have struggled It's not that I just landed one of the best companies in Korea. Sure. Even though, like, I had a good CV, resume. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get good marks in school and you can pass out from one of the best universities, even from Korea and India. Still, there are chances that you might not land a job which is very, you know, paying you very good, or, you know, it's a very known brand. So, for example, in India, it's quite easy, but in Korea, it's not easy. Right. So people, when you work, a lot of people ask you, okay, so where are you working? And you tell the name and people know, okay, so you're working here. But in Korea, when I was working in Korea and people from outside or even in Korea, they used to ask the name of the company. I always thought even if I tell you, you wouldn't know the name of that company because it is not so big. So that is the struggle which, you know, foreigners can face, because not everyone can land to a job in Samsung or Hyundai, which are known brands of Korea. Mm-hmm. When I started looking for a job, I started working in an IT company. Again, not as a software engineer, but in marketing. Mm-hmm. It was a small company, but the pay was okay. Sometimes in Korea, foreigners are paid better than Koreans. But of course, when we compare the salaries of people who are into IT field and who are into marketing field, there is a huge difference. Oh, so that was the only thing, that you don't get to land your dream job. As a foreigner, it's difficult to find a job. You end up saying, okay, I'm fine with this company because anyway, I'm not able to find a job. And that time, there were a lot of openings for Indians because a lot of companies were investing in India. Ooh, nowadays, it's very difficult for foreigners to find a job in Korea if you are from India. And if you don't know language, then it is very difficult to find a job in Korea. But it was comparatively easier for me at that moment to find a job in Korea.
What is the basic proficiency level in the language that you need to find a job in Korea?
They ask level four.
Topic four.
But but it is not actually mandatory. If you are fluent enough and you can talk to people in Korean well, then they don't even ask for the certificates. They just look how you can communicate and will you be able to, you know, interact with your colleagues in Korean or not.
Interesting. Okay. How long have you been in Seoul now? You started studying Korean in 2012 and now we're in 2025, which is 13 years. But when did you first go to Seoul and have you been there throughout?
I came to Korea in 2015, September. But I went back to India as well for a year. So around 8 years now in Korea.
Wow.
It's a long time.
It's a long time. Yeah, absolutely. Is it because you started getting homesick that you started Seoul Events? Or what prompted you to start Seoul Events?
So when I came to Korea, I noticed that there is a lot of craze about Western music and Latin music as well. I learned about Latin music when I came to Korea. In India, I never used to listen to Latin music. I noticed that a lot of places have English, Korean, and Latin songs, but nowhere you could find Indian songs. And I was surprised because Indian music is so popular in so many countries. Not only, you know, you go to Western countries, Middle East, anywhere. A lot of people know about Bollywood, what is Bollywood, but in Korea, nobody knew about it. I was sitting with my friends and we were just having a discussion. What if, you know, there is Nore Bang in Korea. You know, what is that?
Yeah.
It's karaoke rooms where you can just go and sing on mic.
Something that I'm looking forward to most when I do eventually come to Korea.
You should come to Korea.
Yes, I do plan. But yes, okay, so Nore Bangs. Yeah.
So even in the Nore Bangs, like, you can find even Filipino song, but not Indian. So I was just thinking, like, why do we not have Hindi music or Bollywood music or any Indian song? At least one song would be enough. Even if it was there, it would have been so good. At least I can go and just sing that song. But
that's so surprising.
Yeah.
No, but that's so surprising, because what I understand is, at least from what I have heard, movies like Three Idiots was very, very popular in Korea.
Yeah.
Tonak Tonak Ton, as
yes, that is it.
It's also very popular. Actually.
Yeah, but there was no music.
Wow.
No, nothing at all. And so my friends were saying, why don't we have our music in Korea? So I thought, ki agar nahi hai, to why not introduce it? Koi kare ya nahin kare, we can do it. So like, you know, people were started making fun ki are ye to matlab bolne wali baat hai, kaun karta hai, kahan hoga, aisa kab hoga. So I thought, then I decided, theek hai, nahin hoga, let me just try. And you know, I went out and I spoke to places if I can organize a party where I can play Bollywood music. That is how I started.
That's amazing. So you started off with organizing parties where you played Bollywood music, and then you started fighting people to sing at these events?
My first event was Bollywood Night, where I invited people to come and dance on Bollywood music. Mm-hmm. Because I know people are crazy in India about dancing on Indian songs. And absolutely. When you find it on a foreign land, then I'm sure you will definitely come. So even in my first event, I was just expecting 20 people, and that to my friends. But surprisingly, 100 people came to that event.
Go, 100
I wasn't expecting.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I was like just thinking, chalo 20 to aa jayenge, wo bhi mere dost. But, you know, 100 people came. So I was so happy I could finally do something which I thought I just thought and, you know, I could make it possible.
How long ago was this? When did you have your first event?
It was in 2019. Just last year, we celebrated 5 years.
5 years of soul events, and all that started with missing Bollywood music. Incredible.
Yes, the key to it is consistency. I remember in 2020, I went back to India because of COVID. And then after I came back again in 2021, everything was closed. Almost gave up. That I don't think I would, you know, do the events anymore. Mm-hmm. But then there was someone who came, like a person from Italy, and she contacted me and she said that she wanted to volunteer. She was Italian and wanted to volunteer.
For Indian music,
not for Indian music, but she was just into events. She wanted to do some events and she was looking for such kind of platform. So I said, okay, let's do it. We can divide it. You can do your events, I will help you, and I will do my events, you can help me. Because I did not want to just limit it to Bollywood parties. I wanted to make it an event platform where we also do hiking, movie nights, and, you know, karaoke nights.
All of that is now part of Soul Events.
Yes.
Wow. That is fabulous. Oh my God, that's so enterprising of you. You go to a foreign land. It's difficult enough to start any kind of organization or any kind of community when you're in your own country and without a language barrier. But to go to a foreign land and to try and introduce your culture to, let's say, they're not the most welcoming when it comes to like expanding their horizons and this thing and accepting new cultures, isn't it? But to do that and to find acceptance and to keep it running for 5 years straight, running sixth, it's just so cool.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so what challenges have you navigated while running Soul Events? What are some of the most common things that have happened? Or the common sort of no's that you faced?
When I started, I went to places to ask if I can play Bollywood music. And they said no, because it is a culture shock for my audience. And anyway, because I was doing it for the first time, so it is quite, the first challenge was paying the rent for the place, which is very expensive, to be honest. Renting the whole place for like 5 to 6 hours is quite expensive in Korea. And the second challenge was people not accepting Bollywood because they thought it would be a culture shock. Mm. So some places said straight no. And some places they said, okay, we can play, but, you know, 20% of Bollywood, 50% of English, and something like that. They didn't want Bollywood to be totally played because it would be a culture shock for their own audience.
Mm-hmm.
Like people who regularly visit their place.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the problem when I started out. But gradually, we made it happen. Now I get contacts to organize events. The scale of my events is around 300 people in one event, but I stop it because of the capacity issue.
And so these are ticketed events?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What kind of organization is this? Is it a partnership, a company that you form, or is it just a sole proprietorship where only you are running it?
And it's sole proprietorship. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, because I love managing things. And this is what I noticed once I started organizing events. I found out my passion of organizing. I love more than participating in an event. I love organizing and seeing people happy because of my events. People can connect with each other in my events. And a lot of people came to me and also told me that, thank you for doing such kind of events because we never find such opportunities to connect with our own community. And we are so lonely here and your events are the only source of, you know, entertainment. So this is what makes me happy.
That is so nice. Yeah, that must be so rewarding to hear.
Yeah, I love to hear that. That is the happiest thing for me after doing events. People write small notes and just give it to me, and I feel so happy. I keep it with me all the time. I still have it, like some notes I received in one of my events. I still have it. So this is what makes me happy. Yeah. And initially I thought I could have a team. Not everyone is able to contribute so much. The only thing is that I cannot pay them so much to make them engaged whole time.
Mm.
So I just thought that I can do it by myself. And I think I can, right now, because it is small, I can handle everything. So I do from A to Z, everything I do by myself. Like from planning to executing to marketing to financing, everything.
So do you plan to grow Soul Events at any point in the future? I know right now you're running it as a solo thing, but do you plan to grow it eventually?
Yes, of course. I definitely want to grow it. But I'm not sure how long I will stay in Korea.
Okay. Do you plan to come back to India soon?
I want to come back to India. But let's see how long I can keep it going. Because my main motive was to promote the soft power of India in Korea. And I think to some extent, I am already successful because nowadays I hear a lot of Koreans who know more about Bollywood. There are Korean creators creating content about India.
Mm-hmm. I know. You even attended Charlie Bhai's wedding.
Yeah. You know him?
Of course I know him. I follow him on Instagram and I'm damn entertaining to see a Korean guy speaking in
So now if you go to clubs, in Korea, you can hear Hindi music.
Wow.
I'm not sure it's just a direct result of what I have been doing, but maybe in an indirect result of what
In some way, I'm sure the fact that you have, you know, consistently been conducting events and exposing the local population to our music, I'm sure it's definitely contributed in some form or the other. So that's what being a trailblazer is all about, right? You go and you start small and you're going to have to face all kinds of challenges, mocking by somebody, lots of rejections. But the fact that you're consistently showing up and then saying that I'm not going to be stopped because this is my passion and I'm going to continue.
Yeah.
Big salute to that.
Thank you.
So we've spoken about the challenges that you faced, but what were some of the most rewarding experiences of running Soul Events?
I think the best moment for me was to be recognized by MESC, which is recognized by Ministry of Skills and Entrepreneurship in India.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
I somehow just got contacted. They contacted me to give me a certificate for promoting Indian culture in Korea. And then I asked them if we can collaborate for an event. So they came to Korea last year and they awarded me. Also, the best moment for me was when Tasha, the actor, the famous, you know, national crush from Hira Mandi, he spoke my name and he congratulated for our event. That was my best moment.
Oh my goodness. I can only imagine. He is gorgeous looking.
I mean, he's one of my favorite. I requested him to say my name.
That's amazing. And to be recognized by the government of India for something that you're doing in a foreign country, that is goals.
Yeah.
That's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I achieved my goal of starting conducting events.
That is definitely applause worthy.
Thank you so much.
So as a last question for this, I'm going to ask, what advice would you give to people who want to emulate your example and enter professional spaces or voluntary spaces like this in foreign countries or, and in your case, specifically in Korea? What advice would you give to such people?
If someone wants to come to Korea and follow their dream, like work in Korea, I would just say to them that learn to accept others' culture, because Korean culture is very different from Indian culture. Mm-hmm. And there might be situation that, you know, you end up hating it because you might not understand some situation, which is because it is very different from our culture. So if you go to any country, even if it is not Korea, if it is some other country and you're going there to grow and make your career, then just learn to accept the way it is and learn to accept their culture. Don't try to change their culture. Mm-hmm. Now, they can question me that I am trying to change their culture, but no, I'm not trying to change their culture. I'm just introducing my culture to Korea.
Yeah.
So, yes, learn to accept others' culture. Be open, flexible. And the most important thing is communication and networking. If you, there are a lot of people, you go abroad and they just stick to their own community people. They don't interact with people who are foreigners or even the natives. Just want to stay at home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recommend doing that because it will limit your opportunities. It will limit the way you think. Because a lot of times when I was in India, I used to think about certain things in a different way. But now, mm-hmm. I interact with people of a different culture. I think, okay, like, you know, this can be thought in this way, this perspective. So there are a lot of perspective, which I might think that is wrong, but from others' point of view, it is correct. So, you know, networking and communicating with people of different cultures can help you not only develop your personality, but also, you know, change the way you think and grow yourself.
That's so beautifully said.
This is just through my personal experience.
Yeah, and it's so precious, you know, like when it comes from somebody who's actually gone there and experienced it, it's so valuable to come to know from a perspective that's actually a lived experience. So that's amazing. Okay. And I have just learned just before this recording that it happens to be your birthday on the day that this episode is coming out, which is 20th March. So for that day, happy birthday, Swarnya.
Thank you. I'm so glad this is going to be live on my birthday.
What serendipity that I decided off the cuff that this would be the episode for 20th of March and it just so happens to be your birthday.
Yeah, I just love it.
I'm so glad that this has worked out this way. It has been such an amazing time talking to you. Swarnim, do you have any last words for our listeners?
To the listeners, follow your dreams, even if you think that is not going to help you financially. Just do it because it is going to give you the happiness which you cannot get anywhere else. This is what I want to say.
Thank you so much for agreeing to be a part of this episode and for making this episode so valuable and so informative and so entertaining. I am sure our listeners are going to love it. And I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation with you. I hope either when you come back to India or when I come to Seoul, eventually I will, to visit my sister at least. I get to see you and I hope to meet you in person really soon.
Thank you, Ashwarya, for having me tonight. And I wish that we meet soon in Seoul, probably. And let me know whenever you're coming, because I will throw a Bollywood party for you, especially for you.
So sweet of you to say. Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh my God, this has been such a wonderful time. But I think it's time to say bye to our listeners now. And listeners, I hope you enjoyed this as much as I have genuinely loved recording this episode. And like Swarnim says, keep following your dreams. Keep doing things that make you happy, because you never know where it's going to lead you. And with that, I will see you all in the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.